Monday, October 18. So we're here to meditate together. I recognize that some of you may be new to this, and of course, some of you are more experienced. Meditation is a sort of radical activity relative to many of the things that we do. There is an element of doing that's useful to most people. Of course, there are dozens of types of meditation. Most of them begin with this mental activity of focusing our attention on something actually happening, something relatively neutral, something in our experience. So it's not make-believe so much as something we can actually notice, even though we may not be noticing it in the normal course of things precisely because it's neutral. The reason we begin this way is there's something about this sustained attention to something relatively neutral, which has remarkable effects given the way our brain and central nervous system, and our full body, the way it works. And so in the Buddhist traditions, which is where mindfulness is drawn from, primarily the basics of meditation, although most cultures have similar activities one way or another, this idea of cultivating concentration is taken seriously. It's definitely something that can be practiced and practiced intensively with remarkable effects. And it's also something that can be practiced in somewhat minimal ways, and people can notice the difference it makes. And so today I will invite you to focus on ambient sounds, on sensations in your body, the sensations connected with the breath. I won't tell you exactly how you're going to do it because I don't know and it's not my business, but the basic principle is focusing attention on something relatively neutral, meaning not terribly stimulating. And the feel of the breath, the actual sensations in our abdomen, in the chest, at the nose are pretty good much of the time for most people. And so I invite you to give it a shot. This is doable. It's not that we have to do something impossible and then we can begin. One example of something impossible, so far as I know, is simply clearing our minds of all thoughts just by deciding to. And so it's not something we need to do, even though, unfortunately, that idea seems to have taken a foothold in at least some popular conceptions of meditation, that the way to begin would be clear your mind. It's like, no, don't clear your mind. Just focus your attention, even in the midst of all the chaos that may be taking place in our minds. So it's just something we can do seriously in the midst of even intense physical pain or emotional distress. It's very interesting that we have this capacity and that we can practice it and it can become more familiar. And we're not going to do it perfectly. So it's definitely something we can do. I'll guide you in this in a minute when we begin. But if you're new to this, you may be surprising both that you can do it and do it well enough to get good effects, and that you can do it well enough to get good effects even though you're not doing it perfectly. And even though quite naturally your attention will drift and you will quite naturally begin mulling over the problems of the day, whatever they may be, or whatever may happen to come to mind in this space. So in mindfulness practice, we not only focus on the breath or something similar, we also include whatever has pulled our attention away in those moments. And the whatever it is what can come into human consciousness, right? And so there's not a sort of official standard of things that's okay. Otherwise we've ruined the meditation. It's quite interesting that in this space, where we have a tremendous amount of freedom just to be real, not to micromanage our experience and so forth. And so in those moments, when we realize our attention is drifted from the breath, we just take stock, we notice, we don't try to, like with thoughts, one thought leads to another really quickly. So we don't try to slow that down or tackle it so much as, or put it under a microscope so much as just recognize we're thinking, I'm thinking, these are thoughts. Often emotion is in the neighborhood, some degree of stress, anxiety, fear, hatred, sorrow, and so forth. Quite normal, very normal human emotions. We have permission here just to, we don't have to perform, so we don't have to control. And we can tune in, and it's a good idea to tune into the physical component of these emotions, what's actually happening in our bodies in those moments, often in the torso. And then reconnect with the breath again. So we don't have to get things fixed. We're not micromanaging so much as doing a little bit, focusing attention, sustaining attention, and then having a free space where we can practice being real. So that's the pep talk. Let's meditate. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in-breath and out-breath. Yeah, maybe a little sigh with the out-breath. This is just one way to begin. Letting your breath be normal. We'll come back to the breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear. And this is actually easy. It's so easy. If you're new to this, it can be like maybe a little difficult to believe it's this easy. Sounds come to us. What can you hear right now? So we don't have to censor any sounds or keep track of everything or keep track of anything. We don't have to hear everything that's happening, just noticing what some of the sounds happening now. It's changing, right? Moment after moment, it's a mental activity, focusing attention on this part of our experience. The action is with that mental activity. We're not trying to get something out of the sounds. So it takes some effort. It's mostly patience, a willingness to try. You don't have to get rid of other things, thoughts or bodily sensations and so forth. You can stay with sounds if you wish. It's also good to practice with our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body. And now we're just tuning in, noticing sensations that we can feel in our bodies, head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Again, it's relatively straightforward. Vibration, pressure, softness, maybe vague, may not be a lot, might be a lot, it might be too much, whatever, just noticing. So we notice our bodies, it can be natural to notice the sensations connected with the normal breath. So not breathing especially deeply or constructing the breath in any way, just letting it happen. Tend to be some sensations, the abdomen, the chest, or at the opening of the nose. How do you know when the in-breath is beginning? It's based on some sensations. So just wherever you notice, just letting your attention rest there, abdomen, chest, or nose. Noticing the changing sensations as the air comes into your body, as air begins to leave with the out-breath. Out-breath unfolds, dissolves. So yeah, it takes some effort. We have to try, but we, by definition, don't try harder in order to get it over sooner, or something like that. So yeah, it takes some patience, the willingness just to let this be what I'm paying attention to now for this time, this period of time, seeing what might happen. If for any reason the breath doesn't feel quite right, that's all right. Just shift to sensations in your hands, maybe somewhere else in your body, it could be anywhere, sensations in your feet, maybe back to sounds. If the choices are confusing, you know, just come back to the breath, see if some part of the breath is okay. Abdomen, chest, nose. So it's something, there's something to do here, but there's also a lot of permission. We're not, hopefully, you know, we're not putting ourselves into sort of straitjacket of tension. If you're feeling anything, that's enough. Even if there's not a lot of sensation at all, just that mental activity of focusing is where the action is. And when we realize our attention has drifted, it's perfectly normal. Our minds are good at moving from one thing to another, what needs to be paid attention to. So we'll find that we're drawn into thoughts, planning, worrying, mulling something over, often emotion implicated nearby, stimulating the thoughts or getting stimulated by the thoughts. Our job is minimal here. We don't need to try to micromanage or control our experience so much as just know it, know what's happening. With emotions, it can be great to tune into the physical component of the emotion, the visceral quality that we can feel often in the chest, the torso. Reason I emphasize it's a permission is that quite often in the roles we play and the things we do throughout the day, we don't have a lot of permission. We need to perform, we need to hide what we're feeling, things like that. So we're not performing now. Don't need to control your appearance. Just tune in to what it is, what's happening. And also no obligation, of course, to stay with the emotion. It can be intense at times. So yeah, just noticing, tuning in a bit, shifting your attention back to that home base of the breath or your hands or feet or sounds. We'll take 2 or 3 more minutes for the meditation together. Still no need to rush. So feel of this breath, the in breath, out breath, it's unfolding. So thank you. It's good to meditate with you. What we just did, I don't know what you did, but the kind of the basics, none of my business, but really, but the basics of mindfulness are so radically simple, right? Part of my job, maybe the core of my job as a teacher, is to convey confidence that it actually makes sense to spend time doing this. And I do feel that confidence, both certainly from my own practice, from many, many students over many years. The emerging science is also supportive that this sort of activity can help us both calm down and also work with difficult states better, intelligently. And that's why it's a good complement, for instance, with psychotherapy, right? Whatever the form of psychotherapy, what you do in mindfulness practice can be a good complement. It also can be really interesting for its own sake. So there is a retreat this Saturday. I will be teaching a day-long retreat. Saturday, October 22nd, beginning at 10 a.m. Pacific time, going until 4 p.m. Pacific. That may feel utterly absurd, especially if you feel like you barely hung on to survive this meditation. Interestingly enough, if you did survive this meditation, you probably would survive the 6-hour retreat also. I don't know if you should do it. I'm very open-minded about this, but it is something I've done dozens of times, including with undergrads, including the first or second Saturday of the quarter, I never require it. It's always optional. There are a number of ways to get points. And so I don't require it, but I'm definitely experienced with teaching this sort of thing with beginners, where we actually have more time to work with. Over the past year and a half, we have found that doing retreats via Zoom, where people are in their own space or wherever they are, not gathering together in person, has worked well. And so it can be done. And I invite you to consider it. Obviously, you have the option of only doing part of it. And the fact that we're on Zoom makes that sort of thing easier. I am well aware that we may have conflicts with baseball Saturday. Let's see, doing the math, the Dodgers better hope there's a game on Saturday, put it that way. And so if you need my permission slip to leave to pay attention to the game, you don't actually need my permission slip. You get the point. It's like, I love doing this. I've done many retreats over many years. The reason we would do a retreat of any length is there is something cumulative about this activity, so that the more time we spend, the more opportunity there is for the mind to settle, for this idea of calmness, stability, and so forth to kind of settle in. And that's one reason for practicing for a more sustained period of time. And likewise, we're practicing, we're developing skills relative to that inclusion of attention to whatever presents itself. So the structure of the day, I definitely teach the same basic principles. So, and I assume there will be beginners there, just as I do here. So we'll begin with the basics and so forth, but we'll also we'll alternate sitting with standing and walking for those who can stand and walk. If you can't, you're still welcome. It can be nice to kind of alter the posture a little bit in different ways. Even if you're confined to lying down, there's still some things you might be able to do. So we'll take a break in the middle of the day. Towards the end of the afternoon, we will do some relational mindfulness and some loving kindness practice. So I think, Serena, how do we access the retreat? It will be online. And UCLA Mark, that's Serena. She put a link to the registration. And so you'll receive a link. If you register, you receive it's on Zoom. It'll probably be, I don't know which one it'll be, but it'll be the same. You'll have access to it the same way we have here. So yeah, thank you all. Thank you for your practice, and it's good to practice with you.